Okay, good morning again, everyone. Good morning, good morning. I was just thinking there of what Billy said in his prayer, and I suppose it was like a prophetic prayer. We have the power to make a difference, and it's the power of the Spirit of God dwelling within us. Well, how many of us actually believe that? See, if we really believe it, we'll do something about it. So if you're not doing something about it, you don't believe it. Let's just pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for that beautiful time of praise and worship this morning, Lord, for just the ministry that you have given Steph in allowing us, Lord God, to lose ourselves in our love for you. And being caught up, Lord God, in that praise and worship and thanksgiving and just those moments to bask in your love. How wonderful it is, Lord, when the Spirit of God comes down upon us and turns what is just songs into praise and worship. And Lord, we thank you this morning that we could praise and worship you together. And we ask, Lord, that we would continue in our worship now as we humble ourselves to hear what your Spirit is saying to us, please. In Jesus' name. Amen. Some people think that I'm a right cheeky git. Yeah. You know? And said, you know, sarcasm isn't part of Christian life. But, well, I mustn't be a Christian. My dad used to say sarcasm is the lowest form of wit or the highest form of intelligence. It just depends which way you look at it. But, you know, on a number of occasions, I've been standing at the doors of Shiloh, and somebody will come and ask me, what do you call your man or your woman who's sitting there at the back? Or who's that person? Who's that new person in tonight? And I usually very politely answer, guess what? They speak. Why don't you go and ask them? It's called getting to know someone. So don't ever ask me at the door, what do you call your man or your woman sitting at night? Because unless they're deaf and mute and they can do pretty sign language, I will be telling you, guess what? They speak. Why don't you go and ask them? It's called getting to know someone. You see, if we don't make the effort to get to know a person, you won't know them. It's not rocket science. If we don't actually make the effort to go and ask someone, oh, what about you? What's your name? Is this your first time here? Whatever. You know, and then people answer, no, I'm one of the pastors. If we don't make that effort, you won't get to know people. We might know about them, but it's not the same as knowing someone. And with this in mind, I want to ask a question this morning. How do you think people get to know God? What have you ever asked yourself that question? How do you think people get to know God? Now, don't answer, go and ask him. Because that won't necessarily work. Because most people have false, preconceived ideas about God. Or they've listened to other people telling them what they think God is like, but they actually don't know him. The vast majority of people out in these communities know about God, but they don't know him. So how do people think, or how do you think people get to know God? Or let me put it another way. If a person asks you, how can I get to know God? What would your answer be? Would it be, oh, come to church with me on Sunday? Or you can speak with Tally or with Dave or with Keith. Or, you know, you should try going into your bedroom and getting down on your knees and praying. Would you be shocked to find out that these won't necessarily work? At most, they will only help people to get to know about God. So how do people get to know God? Guess what? He speaks. Guess what? He speaks. You see, Christians believe that the most important place to turn to know God and to know more about God, is the Bible. You see, we believe the Bible to be God's Word. God the Creator speaks to mankind, His creation, through His Word. And therefore, we should be listening. The Bible is God's Word to all of mankind. Not just to those who gather in Shiloh Christian Fellowship on a Sunday morning. This is God's Word to believers and unbelievers alike. It is God's Word to all of creation. It is the chief way God communicates, and His Word must be listened to, because He warns us in Psalm 119 verse 21 that He rebukes the proud, the cursed, who stray from His Word. Those people who do not listen to God's Word, who stray from God's Word, God says they are proud and they are cursed. Over the next number of weeks, we're going to delve into Psalm 119. I think we're doing this before. I think Keith, Dave, and myself say every Wednesday, dread the day that somebody in Shiloh on a Sunday morning gets Psalm 119 to read out, because we may just pack in and have to do a sermon, because there's 176 verses in it. So, but we're going to delve into it over the next number of weeks for a reason. And instead of delve into it, we're not going to cover the whole Psalm. But we're going to see how Psalm 119 instructs us to value, respect, and learn from God's Word exactly what our attitude to it should be. As John Kelly aptly describes Psalm 119, he says, is God's nursery school for learning how to apply the Word of God. Psalm 119 is God's nursery school for learning how to apply the Word of God. It trains us to say, like the writer of Psalm 119, oh, how I love your law, your Word. Oh, how I love your Word. I meditate on it all day long. So this morning, let's turn to Psalm 119. It's just after Psalm 118. And we'll read from verse 9. That's the sarcasm coming out again. Verse 9. How can a young man, or how can a young person, cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Deal bountifully with your servant, that I may live and keep your word. Open my eyes, that I may see wondrous things from your law. I am a stranger in the earth. Do not hide your commandments from me. My soul breaks with longing for your judgments at all times. You rebuke the proud, the cursed, who stray from your commandments. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept your testimonies. Princes also sit and speak against me, but your servant meditates on your statutes. Your testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. You know, early, very early in my Christian life, I learned not to open God's Word, not to open the Bible without praying the actual words that the psalmist writes here. Open my eyes, that I may behold, or that I may see wonderful things from out of your word. You see, the Bible, like God Himself, is to be approached with reverence. That is nothing more than a book. That's good stories. unless the Spirit of God comes down upon it, unless He opens our eyes to see it. And so therefore we must approach the Bible with reverence and ask God, like the psalmist says, open my eyes that I may behold wonderful things from out of your word. We come to God asking Him to open our understanding and shed light into our darkened minds through His word. In other words, what we're asking God to do is speak to us. God is a God who speaks. He has always spoken and always will speak. Dave quoted from John's Gospel last week in John chapter 1, verses 1 and 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Speaking here of Jesus. Jesus, the Son of God, is also called the Word of God. He has eternally been the Word of God. He is the full expression of God's thought and God's mind to us. Jesus reveals God to us. He is the eternal living Word of God. He is, as is said in many of the hymns, He is the Word incarnate. He is the Word become flesh. The Bible is God's Word in written form and is to be treated with the same reverence that we treat Jesus. Nothing was created without Jesus. Because Jesus is the Word, and the Word spoke and brought into existence that which did not exist. This is how powerful the Word of God is. God's Word is creative. God speaks and things happen. Now we can go into Genesis and we can learn this very, very clearly from Genesis that when God spoke His word, things began to happen. God spoke, let there be light. And what happened? There was light. Then He spoke and He made heaven. And then He made the earth by the word of His mouth. Then the seas, the vegetation, then night and day, the sun, the moon, the stars. He spoke and living creatures were created. Sea creatures, birds, cattle, beasts of the earth. And finally, He created man and woman in His image. He didn't create birds in His image. He didn't create trees in His image. He created man and woman in His image. And what happened? God spoke to them. Go forth and multiply. And what happens? Man communicates with God. His word is creative and it is active. But when God speaks, He expects us to listen. But He also expects us to communicate back. I've heard many people talking about how the Christian life is a one-way telephone conversation from us to God. Do this, right, fine. And don't give God a chance to speak. When it should be the other way around, that God is speaking all the time to us. Do this. I will empower you. And help the homeless. Help the sick. Do whatever. Okay now. Yes, God, thank you. I will empower you to do it. No worries. Thank you. Bye. God's word is creative. When He speaks, things happen. We see it here. People come for prayer, and God speaks, and they are healed. We hear of people facing terrible circumstances, and they come and talk about it, and then God speaks. And the circumstances are changed, or they're given the strength to work through those circumstances. God's word is not only creative, God's word is also decisive. Because not only does He speak and things happen, but when He speaks and decides, Guess what? That's just the way it is. When God speaks, He decides. And that's the way it is. He simply decided to create the universe, our world, and everything in it. He decided that He would create man in His image and bless him. That was God's decision. No one twisted God's arm up his back and made him do this. His decisive word, however, to Adam was what Adam could or could not do. And he spoke the consequences. If they disobeyed, they would die. God decided it, and he spoke it. When God speaks his word is decisive. And that's just how it is. And God's decisive word became known as the law of God. His decisive word is the law. And that's just how it is. Now remember though, Psalm 119 is God's nursery school for learning how to apply the word of God. Oh, how I love your law, your decisive word. I meditate on it all day long. You see, not only is God's word creative and decisive, but thank God his word is also redemptive. You see, God spoke to Satan way back in the garden, telling him that one would come to redeem mankind. Having tempted Adam and Eve to eat of the fruit that God said you shall not, the decisive word was, you shall not do this or you will die. They disobeyed, the judgment would come in, all because of the temptation that came from Satan. But God spoke to Satan, telling him that one would come to redeem mankind, and he would bruise Satan's head, or he would crush Satan. Without this redemptive word, creation and mankind would be without hope. God's decisive word, his law, was broken, and therefore judgment must follow. But still God speaks a word of mercy and salvation. What a wonderful, wonderful God we serve. If people want to know God, guess what? He speaks. The Bible tells us God speaks and has always done so. He speaks to his creation. His word is creative. It brings into existence things that do not exist, or it shapes and forms things that already exist. Or what would be the sense of praying? If we didn't believe that God's word is creative, we wouldn't pray. If Mrs. So-and-so has an ingrown toenail and wants prayed for healing, what would be the sense of us praying if we didn't believe that God's word was creative and that he would speak and she would be healed? God is always speaking. His word is always creative. We, all of us on a daily basis, I hope, are praying about our own circumstances or other situations around us or in this world, believing that God's creative word will speak and change those circumstances. God speaks to his creation. His word is creative. It brings into existence things that do not exist, or it shapes and forms the things that already exist. God's word is also decisive, and it overrules all human decisions. This is why we say God is in control. Doesn't matter what's going on in this world and it looks like it's going bonkers. God's decisive word is spoken, and he is always in control because he overrules all human decisions. What he decides happens, and no one can thwart it. But God's word is also redemptive. It speaks and reveals God's mercy and grace, telling forth his remedy for mankind's failure. Who else could have spoken that word? There's not a person. Every human being is sin-cursed. living in sin-cursed bodies in a sin-cursed world, how could they speak a redemptive word for mankind? Because all mankind was lost. But God so graciously, so mercifully speaks forth this redemptive word that brings the remedy for mankind's failure. In Adam, God's decisive word, his law, do this and don't do that, failed. And why did it fail? Because it was a hope based on mankind's performance. If you think that you can perform to please God, you have already failed. Performance has got nothing to do with it. Performance shows you how far short you actually fall from God's standard. The do's and don'ts fail. But God's redemptive word speaks hope for all because it's not based on mankind's performance or works, but on God's. And God will not fail. So when he speaks his redemptive word for salvation for all men through faith in Jesus Christ, it will not fail. It's based upon God's faithfulness, God's work, and the work of his seed, Jesus, the Word becoming flesh and dwelling among us. There is nothing more important than to know that God speaks. He speaks to us through his Word, the Bible. We encourage readings from the Bible. But they must be spirit-led when Rita or Shirley or others are reading out of the Word in the mornings and bringing that specific Word into the time of praise and worship. We believe that through the week they have been looking to God and seeking God and asking God to lead them. And when they bring that Word, we listen to hear what God is saying. Or when I'm up preaching or Dave's up preaching or Keith's up preaching, we're listening to hear what is God saying to me because God speaks. And many, many times, I love the prophetic word, and Rita will tell you this, I love the prophetic word when it speaks directly into a person's life and they don't even know at the time. The person who's speaking, I'm talking about, doesn't even know at the time that God is using them to speak directly into a person's life. I had a guy call to my door last night. He came in for a cup of tea. We chatted. We prayed together. And as he left from my house, he said to me, "You prayed everything that I prayed for the Lord this morning in my secret place. You prayed exactly what I had prayed to the Lord." I didn't know that. But it was speaking into his life. God was speaking to him, confirming to him that he had heard his prayer. The God that we worship is a God who speaks. He speaks to us, as I said, through his word. We encourage the public reading of his word. It's how we get to know God. His word is creative. His word is decisive. But his word is redemptive. The destiny of every person depends on how we respond to God's word. You see, if we reject God's word, we reject his creativity, his decisiveness, his law, and his mercy. If we reject God's word, we're rejecting the creative word, the decisive word, the redemptive word. If we reject God's word, we reject Jesus. Because Jesus, God's Son, is the Word of God. To reject the Bible, to reject the Word of God, is to reject Jesus. And if we reject Jesus, we reject God. Because Jesus is God. Let me ask you this morning, Christian. Do you know God? Do you really know him? Some people have more time, for example, for every day with Jesus. And some of them read books, which I hate at the back. The words for today, I hate them. Only other people like them in the church. It just shows that I'm not a dictator. But I would turf them into the bin. I had someone speak to me recently and said, "I don't have time to read my Bible. I'll read my words for the day." I wouldn't wipe my backside with it. It's awful. It needs turfed out because people need to get into the Word of God. We put more emphasis on these stupid booklets and pamphlets instead of the Word of God itself. So let me ask you, do you really know God? Because a good indication of how well you know God is how well you respond to His word. Do you approach it with reverence, respect, and willingness to learn? Is your delight in the word of the Lord? You get up in the morning and you come down the stairs and you've watched BBC Breakfast and you get your cup of tea or whatever it is and you're sitting down and you come to the Bible. You get excited. Are you delighted in the word of the Lord? Now, I can understand if you say, you know, it's like drudgery if you're in Chronicles, which is where I'm in. And sometimes it's like drudgery. But you know what? You persist and you keep pressing on because there's a discipline in that. How do you respond to the word of God? Is your delight in the word of the Lord or in the word for today? Do you humbly ask the Lord, Lord, open my eyes that I may behold wonderful things from out of your word? I say to the Lord, I'm in this part and it's boring as hell. But speak something to me. Speak something. And it's usually the guy there when that page is finished and closed. But you know, it's something that you say, Lord, get me through this bit. Do you ask God to let His word dwell in you and transform you for His glory? To know God is to know that He speaks. And then, like Mary, we come to the Master's feet and we listen to His every word. Maybe somebody this morning here is an unbeliever, not yet a Christian. Let me ask them, how are you going to get to know God? Will you rely on yours or other people's preconceived ideas of what God is like? To get to know God, you need to understand that He speaks. His word is creative, decisive, and redemptive. Creative, for example. He created the circumstances that maybe this morning there's an unbeliever sitting here. He created the circumstances that maybe today or some point an unbeliever will be listening to the podcast via the website. But He's created that circumstance for you to hear His word. His word is decisive. He has decided to give you another opportunity. It may be your last, but He has decided to give you another opportunity to hear Him tell you to repent from your own belief and to trust in His word. His word is redemptive because God's word points you to Jesus, His Son, and tells you that in Jesus there is hope. So will you take a hold of the hope that is found in Jesus? You know, if you reject God's word, you reject Jesus. And if you reject Jesus, you reject God Himself. Remember this. God rebukes the proud, the cursed, who stray from His word. May our prayer, collectively and individually, may our prayer be, Lord, open my eyes that I may behold wonderful things from out of your word, because I love it and I meditate on it all day. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you this morning for Jesus Christ, your Son, who is the Word of God, the Word who was with you from the beginning, who is God, who became flesh and dwelt among us and went to the cross to die, to pay the price for our sins so that we could know you. And Lord, thank you that we can know you because you are a God who speaks. You communicate with people, and you, Lord God, love people communicating with you. But Lord, thank you for the written word. Thank you for the Bible this morning. We do not take it for granted. And where, Lord God, we have treated it second, Lord God, to other stupid books, Lord, forgive us, please, in Jesus' name. And give us a love and a hunger, Lord God, for more of your word. That, Lord, your word would dwell richly in us. And that we, Lord God, would meditate upon it day and night. And that we would walk in that word because, Lord, you have promised that those who continue in your word shall know the truth, and the truth shall continually be setting us free into that greater revelation of you and your wonderful love for us. And in the power of your word, by your Holy Spirit, let us take this living and active word that God speaks out to those who are homeless, to those who are hungry, to those who are naked, to those who are lonely, to those who are addicted, to those, Lord God, who feel unloved. Let us take your word out to others that they might taste and see how good our God can be. We ask this in the name of Jesus, who is the Word of God. Amen.